My name is Nasir Mansoor, and I am a General Secretary of National Trade Union Federation. National Trade Union Federation is a registered trade union body in Pakistan and is one of the member of a tripartite groups involving government, employers, and the workers. National Trade Union Federation, as per Pakistani law, is not only is not representing any one a sector, but number of sectors, union from number of sectors are a member of our federation. There are not only a National Trade Union Federation, there are other around 10 big federations in Pakistan with a different approaches towards the workers' rights, from left to center, social democrats, far left, and right, even fundamentalists have their own trade unions. So we, being from the left side of the trade union, and we have a very close link with the different left groups, and as a democratic one, and a radical organization in their political spectrum. And our presence in textile, garments, services industry, automobile, steel, mining, shipbreaking, and also shipbuilding. And we are affiliate with the Industrial Global Union, and we are also working closely with the Clean Cloth Campaign and number of international campaign organizations. That is our introduction.
Okay, thank you. On September 11th, on 2012, 255 people died in Karachi in a fire while working in a factory of Ali Enterprises. This is almost 10 years ago now. This is one of the biggest catastrophes in textile industry besides the collapse of the building Rana Plaza in Bangladesh in 2013, where more than 1,000 people died. This subject isn't in the media in Germany no more. And now we're talking more about the new and insufficient Supply Chain Act. How is the situation of the survivors of this terrible accident now?
There is a, you can say that mentally they are still in a trauma. Families are disturbed one. And number of families were broken, especially the widows. They get a lot of suffering from that one. And we have a lot of stories, and that stories are is another tragedy. Just like they felt that one in September 2012, and then everyday life, even they got married again, and they were, when whatever they get from as a compensation, they were snatched from them, and then again they were divorced by the husbands. Families are not allowing them to do something. That is the one problem with the widows. Then the old parents, they suffer a lot. So mental agonies are there. And also they were very much deep in their minds and hearts is that the culprits are not penalized. And they don't, nothing happened with them. Just like a KIK, the company, a social auditing company, or a local suppliers, they were scot-free. That is their, they feel that tragedy after tragedy, that they didn't get the justice from any court. That is the one aspect. The other aspect is that they make a history in a way that they organize themselves as compared to Bangladesh. In Bangladesh, victims don't have their organization. Victims were represented by the different trade unions, trade union bodies, and NGOs. Yeah. But here they have formed their own organization. Ali Enterprise Factory Fire Factories Association, and they contested and they struggle for their rights. And in that way, they're successful getting a compensation. They were registered with the Social Security. They are getting a Social Security pension. They got registered with the pension scheme, old age pension scheme. They are getting that pension from the old age institute. Then also, they got a compensation from government from a different ways. And then they also file a case in Germany in a Dortmund against KIK. And there was no law at that time through which that brand was make accountable in a court. So the case was, after 5 years, the case was dismissed. But it make some kind of discussion in the society. And there was a pressure on the brand. There was a pressure on German government, trade union, human rights organization, campaigners, academia, media. They have taken that issue at that time. And I think that due to that pressure and the court case, even we have lost that case in the court, KIK come to term with the in a discussion and an agreement to pay long-term compensation. And ILO also involved in 11th, soon, very lately, but they involve, and the same is with industrial, they involve in it, and clean cloth campaign play a very significant, and I think that a very active role in it. And we get a long-term compensation, and that compensation is now has been distributed. Is going on distribution among the victims for many years. So in that sense, that for the compensation, for pension, it is a very, I think that some success stories. And after 100 years of ILO, also, since its formation, that was the first time that compensation convention was invoked and practiced in Pakistan. So that was another example that make I think that a good way that workers struggle, and even the victim themselves struggle for it. So in that context is a good thing that and also in one provinces where the that a tragedy happened in Pakistan, there they have formed their own new occupational health and safety law. And then 11 September is now officially recognized as a OSHA Occupational Health and Safety Day officially from government of Sindh, one province. So these are the things, and I think that it make a big achievements through it, but it is still short of what we were expecting. Just like now there is some kind of legislation in Germany which make it is not with our expectation, but still it's a step forward that they are asking for some kind of accountability of the brands and the companies who are marketing their merchandise in German markets. So that is like that, but actually things are not changed very much in the factories. That is a big problem. The good thing is that now international accord is also on cards, and Pakistan is one of the potential country where it might be extended to Pakistan. Yeah. So I think that there are shortcomings and some achievement in that context.
But still, what people, workers are the victims. They think that the companies who are responsible for that tragedy, they were not still accepted their fault, and they didn't make an apology with them. Yeah.
Yeah, you already answered lots of my questions. In some European countries, there are new initiatives for laws concerning the supply chain, in Germany as well. You called it a step forward. Do certifications help improve the working conditions? And what should happen to these people responsible for this terrible tragedy? How is justice going to happen?
Yeah, I think that it's a very very tricky question, and a very I think that is a basic question. The problem is that which I understand that fashion brands, they just show to their customers and to their societies that they are they show their human face and talked about their responsibilities. But actually, when it comes to at a plant levels where they get their merchandise, they really don't care about what is happening inside the factories with the workers. They are much more concerned about the timeline of getting their products and also the quality of the products. But they don't care about the people who are making the quality and meeting the timelines. So you see that European Union has given a GSP plus status to Pakistan and slash duty on Pakistani export from 9.5% to majority of products around a 0% duty. Yeah. So through that one, Pakistan fetch around a 1 billion euro each year because of GSP plus. But the instrument signed and Pakistan pledged with the European Union, European Parliament, that it will respect human rights and the labor standards. Whatever written in Pakistani, in visage in Pakistani laws and Pakistani constitution and in international ILO conventions. But now is for 10 years. So 2023 is the last year for that, and now the negotiation may be started for a renegotiation and extension of that GSP plus. But worker don't get anything because there was a no monitoring system. Workers, a trade union, never consulted about it. They just go to the governments and the employers. They never contact with the workers. There is a no monitoring system on it. So I think that you may form any kind of legislation or law or anything, but if there is a no mechanism how to apply that one and workers are not involved in that one, it can't work. And as I told you that we have a GSP plus, we have a ILO conventions. Being an industrial member, we have also have a global framework agreement with the different brands for the last 10 years or 50 years. But not a single change has been witnessed in the factories who are producing for these brands who call themselves, they are involved in different agreements, including GFAs. So I think that it required that there must be some kind of a strong mechanism to monitor the situation at the factory level, and that is to allow the workers and the unions and the federations to be involved in that monitoring system. Otherwise, it can't work.
And how would a system like this look like?
I think that there must be a tripartite kind of a system in which an employer, workers' representative, and the government concerned department also involved in that one.
there was support from the European Center for Constitutional and Human Rights, ECCHR, to sue a case against the company RINA, which offers services in the field of testing, inspection and certification. Could you talk about this case?
Yeah, I have just yesterday I got one email from them. Our friend colleagues are we are there, but that scope is very limited one. We have went to Italy and filed that one complaint in a some complaint mechanism, and for the last 5 years I think that we are in that process and we are in a discussion. Yeah.
Okay. As I heard, the textile industry hires bullies to intimidate and abuse unionists. Did that happen in your surrounding as well?
Yeah, it's a norm. It's a order of the day. You see that in Pakistan, there is the textile and garment is one of the backbone of Pakistan textile industry. Around 45%, more than 45% workers in a involved in a labor force is involved in a textile and garment. Around 60% of Pakistan export is from a textile and garments, but 99% factories don't allow the workers to form union. Workers don't have the appointment letters. Only 2 or 3% workers registered with the social security or pension schemes. So in that way, you can see that what you can say there is a wage slavery and is a modern kind of a slavery at a workplaces, especially in a textile and garments. So they have hired the security officers in a number of factories, and they have a very close connection with the local police, political high-ups, government high-ups. So it's a very strange, and you can say that it's a very fragile kind of a situation for the workers, that the most vulnerable section of our society have to face the most powerful section of the society, the employer. So when the workers don't have the appointment letters, so it means that they are a precarious. So more than 90% workers are a precarious one, and they were hired by the third party. So they are not, we call it a contract system. So the workers don't have a direct contact with the actual employer. They work in their factories, but they get all their wages through third party contractors. So in that means, whenever workers try to form the union or the workers raise their voice for their rights, they were expelled from the jobs, and they don't have any remedy. If they go to the courts, the court asks them to produce any evidence of their relationship with that factory. The workers are, because workers don't have the employment contracts or written contracts, so they can't get any benefit from the courts. So the workers are helplessness is there. So the workers rarely go to the courts to get any kind of a remedy. So that is a position at a factory level. So that's why the workers always, whenever they go for a protest or any kind of picketing, or we call it a sit-in, we call it in Urdu, dharna, to cordon of the factories, always police and the security institutions come for the help of employers to disperse, even to arrest the workers and file cases. Even in a number of occasions, workers were go to the jail under a anti-terrorist acts. So that kind of a situation is there. Yeah. But I think that because of more awareness and more
you can say that attention to Pakistan garment and textile industry, and buyers are make more target by the European trade union, much more trade union, but much more from the campaign organization and legal rights organizations. Now the brands are looking into it, and they are asking their and very in a low profile to their supplier that they change something and make some changes in their behaviors and practically in the factories. Like that, the situation is, I think that in that direction is going on. There are quantitative changes. These are not the qualitative changes, yeah. But there is some kind of pressure on a brand, and then brand putting a pressure on suppliers. So if the trade union in over here make a strong presence inside the factories, it will make some kind of a qualitative change in the behavior and the practices of the employers in a supply chain.
And this is maybe for us as well an opportunity, or what can we do here in Germany and in Europe to show our solidarity towards the workers?
Yeah, I think that there would be some kind of just like you have a now legislation on it, and you can say that this legislation is not as per the expectation, and it can't change the whole spectrum. Yeah, and also they may ask for union rights for the workers, because if there is a watchdog for the workers' right, so we can manage that one. So whatever, just like we have filed a case with the help of ECCHR and Medico International, it put pressure not only on the government, the buyer, fashion brands, but also on a trade union movements in Europe. Because in some context, some trade unions who have a good working relationship with the brands and the companies in factory outlets where they sell their products. So in Europe, the trade union have a good working terms with them, with that brands. So they don't harm that kind of working relationship for the benefits of the Global South. So organization like ECCHR, Clean Cloth Campaign, and many other that kind of a campaign organization are also question the trade unions why they are not raising that that questions with the brands like that. So I think that as a close collaboration with the local trade union over here in Pakistan, in Europe, with the rights organization, it will resulted in a good kind of practices. And just like we have witnesses in Baldia factory, Ali Enterprise case, when we unitedly and closely work together over here in Pakistan and also in Germany and Italy, we get some kind of a result. Even it was not according to our expectation, but still, it is a big achievement in context, in Pakistani context, because we never get that kind of a compensation and that kind of changes which we get after Baldia Ali Enterprise tragedy.
What are your perspectives for this time to come, and what will happen on September 11th in Pakistan 2022? You said it's kind of the workers' day for health and working conditions, right?
Sorry again.
What will happen on September 11th in Pakistan this year? What are the perspectives in your struggles and this year? Yeah.
We think that We always use it as a term of reference. Whenever there is a industrial accident, every day is happening. We remind to the government and concerned labor departments and different institute that this is their responsibility and resolve that issues and fix that one. So this year we think that if international accord will extend to Pakistan, it will be a big success for us. And we are working on it.
Okay, this sounds like a positive perspective for 2020. Thank you, Nasir. I don't have any questions. Do you want to add something?
I think that it's a global issue. We are facing the monster capital, yeah, and corporate. They have their greeds, and you can't see their ugly face in a Europe or in a Germany, because they are very polite and they have their human face over there. If you want to see the ugly face and the monstrous face of these fashion brand, you may see that faces in a global south. So we both from a global south and north, the people who are much more concerned about human dignity and the labor dignity, our more solidarity, work more and make these kind of corporate greed accountable, and that will work, because we can't win without the support of our comrades and friends in a global north. It is a global fight, and whatever we get, whatever we are getting a negotiation, a kind of a strength with the employer over here, it is, I think, is major portion and major credit goes to the Global North organization, who gave us their solidarity and expose the fashion brands, what they are doing in the global south. Yeah, solidarity is the most important.